Father Yahweh, we humbly bow our hearts before your throne of grace on this, your high holy Sabbath day, the first high day of the Feast of Tabernacles. Father, we come before you with open hearts to receive your implanted word, and we come before you, Father, thanking and praising your name for the opportunity to come together to worship you, Father, to be able to give back to you some of the blessings that you bestowed upon us. Father, you know what each one of us has need of. And we ask, Father, as you continue to bless us, as you open our hearts and minds to receive your word, that you would touch us, and that you would guide us, Father, by your Spirit. We know that your word is life and is spirit, and we ask that you would increase that spirit within us. Cause us, Father, to walk at one with you, so that we would be with you in your kingdom when Yahshua returns. We want to overcome this life and Satan the devil, Father, and we know that we can do it because Yahshua has given us the example. All we have to do is walk with him. Father, you've commanded us to come before you and rejoice before you. So as we're in your presence, Father, we ask that you would bless us as we give glory to you and rejoice before you and open our hearts and our minds and sing with the calves of our lips and give glory to your holy name, Father. We ask that you would truly be with us during this Feast of Tabernacles and bless every moment that each one of us spends with the brethren. So we love you and thank you, Father. We ask that you would send the rest of our brethren here, those who have not arrived as of yet. We ask that you would bless them. Make it so that they can come join us. Give glory and honor to you so that we would all rejoice before you together, Father. We love you and thank you for many blessings you've bestowed upon us, our life, health, and strength. Continue to teach us from your word and to help us, Father, draw closer to you. It's in Yahshua's holy name we ask all these favors and blessings. And may this offering, Father, be to your honor and glory. May it be a blessing for all those that gave and those that did not have any to give. We ask, Father, that you would bless them so that they would be in a position to do so at the next high day. In Yahshua's name we pray. Hallelujah. You may all be seated. This message is entitled Rejoice Before Yahweh. It's the theme for our feast. It's also the title of our message. The term rejoice, the word rejoice is number 8055 in the Hebrew. It's samach, samach, a primitive root probably to brighten up. And such as figuratively to be, causatively to make light or gleesome. In the KJV it says, cheer up, be or made glad, joyful, be or make merry, to rejoice. The scripture says, you shall rejoice. It is a commandment. It is not a suggestion, but a command. When Yahweh tells us to come before him and rejoice, he's commanding us to do so. We are commanded to be in his presence and to rejoice before him. We'll start in Leviticus 23 in the law, verse 33. Same passage that we started with last night. We'll continue. Verse 33, and Yahweh spoke to Moses, saying, speak to the children of Israel, saying, on the 15th day of the seventh month is the Feast of Tabernacles for 7 days to Yahweh. Now, again, I want to emphasize this part at the end of the sentence, to Yahweh. Too many people think that the feast days are for themselves. But these are for Yahweh. They are for his honor and glory. We come before Yahweh to give praise to Him. It says, on the first day shall be a holy convocation. You shall do no servile work. 7 days you shall offer an offering made by fire to Yahweh. On the eighth day shall be a holy convocation to you. And you shall offer an offering made by fire to Yahweh. It is a solemn assembly. You shall do no servile work. We don't do the same things that we would ordinarily do on the high days that we do the other days throughout the week. In verse 37, it says, these are the set feasts of Yahweh which you shall proclaim to be holy convocation, to offering made by fire to Yahweh, a burnt offering and a meal offering, a sacrifice and drink offerings, each on its own day, besides the Sabbaths of Yahweh, and besides your gifts, and besides all your vows. Now the vows are offerings as well. They're different, but they're an offering. When people vow to do certain things, and we see it in Ecclesiastes and other places, Numbers 30, you know, when you make a vow, you have to live up to that vow. We made a vow and a commitment when we became baptized that we would keep all of the commandments. This is one of the commandments, to come before Yahweh, to rejoice before Him, to be at the feast. Okay? Now, understand that we sometimes run into difficulties in our lives. As each one of us is speaking about some of the difficulties and problems that we had getting to the feast. A lot of it has to do with preparation. Yes, you can be prepared. And certain things can happen to get between you and the thing that you really want the most, which is being here at the feast. But the key is not to let it stop you. See? We don't let things get in our way. And they will come up. They're going to happen. And they're going to happen all the time. Now, verse 39, it says, on the 15th day of the seventh month, when you have gathered in the fruits of the land, you shall keep the feast of Yahweh 7 days. On the first day shall be a solemn rest, and on the eighth day a solemn rest. Now, when it talks about you've gathered in the fruits of the land, see, most of the people in Israel were agrarian. They were farmers. Some were herders. Some, as we know, Jonah was... If he did sycamore trees, he took the fruit of whatever. But what I'm saying is, everybody had a job, okay? And most of it, you know, it wasn't like they were all bankers, you know, so they didn't all deal in money. They dealt in a commodity of some sort, which means that they received their income from whatever it was they did, whether they raised lambs or whether they had fruit trees. Say you had a piece of property and your wealth came from your olive tree. So you had an olive press and you made olive oil, you sold olives and whatever. So that's how you got your wealth. So you would still take from that wealth your tithe money. And you're going to use that get to the feast, and then buy the things you need. But the commandment still says you come before Yahweh and rejoice. See, it wasn't supposed to be a hardship. And I know when you understand what Israel did, that's why they talked about the throng going to the feast. They went to the feast joyfully. They didn't go to the feast reluctantly. See, if you did it reluctantly, then you were not keeping the commandment. The commandment says that you came before Yahweh and you rejoiced. And for you to rejoice, you have to be in a certain mindset. You cannot be in a negative mindset and rejoice before Yahweh. Because Yahweh is commanding you to come before Him in a happy state. That's what that word rejoice means. You are overjoyed. You're happy. It says in verse 40, "And you shall have taken on the first day the fruit of good trees, branches and palm trees and boughs of fig trees and willows of the brook. And you shall rejoice." That word "shall" is a command. You shall rejoice before Yahweh your Elohim 7 days. "And you shall keep a feast to Yahweh 7 days in the year. You shall keep it in the seventh month. You shall dwell in booths 7 days. All that are homeborn in Israel shall dwell in booths." That word we know is a temporary dwelling, the tabernacle. "That your generations may know that I made the children of Israel to dwell in booths when I brought them out of the land of Egypt. I am Yahweh your Elohim." And Moses declared to the children of Israel the set feast of Yahweh. He declared those set feasts, and that's what we're hearing about today, the Feast of Tabernacles. And the Feast of Tabernacles is the time to come and learn of Yahweh. Turn over to Deuteronomy chapter 14. Deuteronomy chapter 14. I'm going to start in verse 22. "And you shall surely tithe all the increase of your seed, that which comes forth from the field year by year." Whatever field it is that you're in, of your endeavor. Like I said, you might be a banker, or you might be someone that raises land. But whatever your field of endeavor is, that's where you tithe from. And it says, verse 23, "And you shall eat before Yahweh your Elohim in the place which he shall choose." And this year we chose Virginia Beach. We're here. 349 Whiting Lane. Worshiping before Yahweh. It says, "In the place which he shall choose to cause his name to dwell there, the tithe of your grain, of your new wine, and of your oil, and the firstling of your herd, and of your flock, that you may learn to fear Yahweh your Elohim always." See, the purpose of keeping this feast is to learn to fear Yahweh. You have to come before him, and what's the first thing? Rejoice. You don't come here bringing your problems. You leave all those back in the world. You leave all those at home. Because they'll be there when you get back. Right now, you come before Yahweh in a state of mind to give glory and to rejoice. Because that's what we're talking about. Our theme is rejoice for Yahweh. And that's what we're here to do. Verse 24 of Deuteronomy 14. "And if the way is too long for you so that you're not able to carry it, because the place is too far from you, which Yahweh your Elohim shall choose to set his name there, when Yahweh your Elohim shall bless you." So you have your tithe, you have your land, you have some cattle, you have some fruit that you harvested from your olive trees or your orange grove or whatever. What I'm saying is it's too far for you to carry all that. So what he's telling you to do is sell it in your locale, where you are. Turn it into money. He says in verse 25, and then shall you turn it into money and bind up the money in your hand, and you shall go to the place which Yahweh your Elohim shall choose, and you shall use the money for whatever your soul desires. For oxen, for sheep, for wine, for strong drink, or for whatever your soul asks of you. It could be a red apple ale. than a sin.
It could be a steak. You know, you might want this big juicy steak or whatever. But what I'm saying is Yahweh tells you to come before him and rejoice. So he doesn't limit, you know, the key is we still have to maintain control. Self-control is a fruit of the Holy Spirit, right? So we can't get that Tennessee, what is it called, gold honey, honey gold or whatever, that Tennessee whiskey. We can't get that and go overboard and get drunk. Honey what?
Okay. Don't want to incriminate yourself. Okay.
I understand. What I'm saying is there's a time and place for everything. And Yahweh is telling you at the feast, you can do this. The key is that you don't go overboard. You still do it within the framework of not getting drunk, okay, or losing control. Too many people have no self-control. And this is not what Yahweh wants. He wants us to exercise that self-control, but he wants us to rejoice before him. He wants us to have a good time. He wants the children to have a good time. He wants them to look forward to coming to the feast. See? It's a special time. In verse, still in 26b, after it says, whatever your soul asks of you, and you shall eat there before Yahweh Elohim, and you shall rejoice. You and your household, and the Levite that is within your gates, you shall not forsake him, for he has no portion or inheritance with you. They didn't receive of the land like the rest of the tribes. The Levite lived off of the tithes that were given from the brethren. Verse 28, it says, and at the end of every 3 years, you shall bring forth all the tithes of your increase in the same year. And shall lay it up within the gates. This is the third tithe year. We just had a Day of Atonement, and now we're in the sixth year, so it's the third tithe year, and this is another time that we have to look out for the sojourner, the Levite, because he has no portion or inheritance with you, and the sojourner, and the fatherless, and the widow that are within your gates. Shall come and shall eat and be satisfied that Yahweh Elohim may bless you and all the work of your hand which you do. So Yahweh is the one that's blessing his people because we're following through and keeping his command. In Hebrews 13, and we'll start in verse 10. I'm going to start in verse 9. It says, be not carried away with diverse and strange teaching. Too often people are. You know, they come up with this new, and I'll use the Lunar Sabbath as an example. Okay? And the reason I'm using the Lunar Sabbath as an example is because it's convoluted. Okay? You cannot prove it from the scriptures. Somebody came up with this thing, and they are able to convince other people that this is what it says, and you can't show it to me in the scriptures. You can't prove it to me in the scriptures. But they come up with these strange and diverse teachings, and it says, for it is good that the heart is established by grace, not by meat, in which they occupy themselves were not profited. We have an altar of which they have no right to eat that serve the tabernacle. Now, there were certain people of the Levites. You have your priests and you have your Levites. And there were certain that worked and worked in the temple, but they had no right to eat of the showbread. That was for the priests, okay? And you have, like I said, there's a differentiation there between the priest and the Levite. Now, it says, verse 11, for the bodies of those beasts whose blood is brought into the holy place by the high priest for sin are burned outside the camp. Therefore, Yahshua also, that he might sanctify the people through his own blood, suffered outside the gate. They didn't kill Yahshua in Jerusalem. He had to go out. They took him out to the place, Golgotha. Verse 13, it says, let us therefore go forth to him outside the camp, bearing his reproach. Do we bear the reproach of Yahshua, brethren? See, he was placed on a tree. That was really negative for people to die that way. You remember he died with the two malefactors, one on each side. And they were guilty of sins. They had done something worthy of death. The one told the other, I mean, you mocking him and, you know, he says, we deserve what we're getting. But you, I mean, Yahshua, no, it's a righteous man. But he took that for us, for each one of us. He suffered that for us. Verse 14, for we have not here an enduring city, but we seek after the city which is to come. And that's the kingdom, which is coming to this earth, the new Jerusalem. Through him, then, let us offer up a sacrifice of praise to Yahweh continually. That is the fruit of the lips which make confession to his name. But do not forget to do good and communicate, for with such sacrifices Yahweh is well pleased. And this is why I said we have to do more. We can do more. We're supposed to come and rejoice before Yahweh. What does that entail, brethren? It entails singing praise, giving glory to Yahweh. We can read songs, but we have to give it. Like I said, too many of us have an ability to give praise, but we don't do it. I was speaking about one of the sisters that in our former affiliation, had one of the most beautiful voices you ever want to hear. And she used to live next door to us, and we used to hear her singing in the morning. Actually, she woke me up. But still, I had a beautiful voice. And I know there was a time when things just got rough with that group, that it was a horrible thing to even try to go and give an offering. They made it a chore for you to go through so many hoops to give an offering. You had to, oh, it has to be published, oh, it has to be this. Where does it say that in the Bible? It doesn't say it. We are here to rejoice before Yahweh. I don't care if you make up a song. If you're giving glory to Yahweh, say it. You understand? Yahweh commands us to come before him and rejoice. You shall rejoice. That's a command. But too many have been worn down because of the foolishness, and they don't feel that. You have to have this in your heart. You have to want to come and praise Yahweh. You have to want to give glory to him. And this is what he wants us to do, because this is the commandment. The commandment tells us to come before him with singing, the calves of our lips. Turn over to Deuteronomy chapter 12. Deuteronomy chapter 12. We'll start in verse 1. These are the statutes and the ordinances which you shall observe to do in the land which Yahweh, the Elohim of your father, has given you to possess it. All the days that you shall live upon the earth, you shall surely destroy all the places in which the nations that you shall dispossess serve their Elohim. Excuse me. Upon the high mountains and upon the hills and upon every green tree. There's a church on every corner. You know, every mountain top or whatever, you go by a hill, you'll see one sitting up there. Verse 2, you shall destroy all the places in which the nations that you shall dispossess serve the Elohim upon the high mountains and upon the hills and upon every green tree. And you shall break down their altars and dash in pieces their pillars and burn their asherim with fire. And you shall hew down the carved images of the Elohim, and you shall destroy their name out of that place. You shall not do so with Yahweh Elohim, but unto the place which Yahweh Elohim shall choose out of all your tribes to put his name there, even to his habitation shall you seek, and to that place you shall come, and to that place you shall bring your burnt offerings and your sacrifices and your tithes and your heave offerings of your hand and your vows and your freewill offerings. And the firstling of your herd and of your flock, and there you shall eat before Yahweh Elohim, and you shall rejoice. Verse 7. And all that you put your hand to, you and your household, and which Yahweh Elohim has blessed you, you shall not do after all these things that we do here this day, every man whatever is right in his own eyes. Too many people want to do what they want to do. They don't want to follow the command that Yahweh tells them that they need to do. Verse 9, but you shall not as yet come to the rest and to the inheritance which Yahweh Elohim has given you. But when you go over the Jordan and dwell in the land which Yahweh Elohim causes you to inherit, and he gives you rest from all your enemies all around, so that you dwell in safety, then it shall come to pass that to the place which Yahweh Elohim shall choose, to cause his name to dwell there, there shall you bring all that I command you, your burnt offerings and your sacrifices, your tithes and your heave offerings of your hand, and all the choice vows which you vow to Yahweh. Now, a lot of people make special vows to Yahweh. If you do this for me, then this is what I'll do for you. We already have the commandments. We already have a structure. But see, when people find themselves in a pinch, a lot of times they'll make a special vow, like Hannah, okay? Hannah made a special vow to Yahweh, if you give me a son, a child, because she was barren. And her, the other wife, because Elkanah had two wives, see? The other one was kind of putting pressure on her, and she was barren. And she told Yahweh, if you bless me with a son, I'll dedicate him to you. His whole life, he'll be dedicated to you. And sure enough, Yahweh blessed her with a son. And she dedicated Samuel to Yahweh. And he was a priest to Yahweh all his life. He also opened her womb. She had other children. But she fulfilled the vow. And this is why if we vow something, we have to come through with it. See, Yahweh is going to bless us. And it says right here, in verse 12, it says, and you shall rejoice again. Like it said in 7, in verse 12, you shall rejoice before Yahweh, your Elohim, you and your sons and your daughters and your men servants and your maid servants and the Levite that is within your gates, since he has no portion or inheritance with you. Take heed to yourself that you offer not your burnt offerings in every place that you see, but in the place which Yahweh shall choose, in one of your tribes, there you shall offer your burnt offerings, and there you shall do all that I command you. So he chose a certain place, and like I said, this year we're here in Virginia Beach, doing just that. Verse 15, however, you may kill and eat flesh within all your gates after all the desire of your soul, according to the blessing of Yahweh your Elohim, which he has given you. The unclean and the clean may eat of it, as of the gazelle and as of the hart. Only you shall not eat the blood. You shall pour it out on the earth as water. You may not eat within your gates the tithe of your grain, of your new wine, of your oil, or the firstling of your herd, or of your flock, nor any of your vows which you vow, nor your freewill offerings, nor the heave offerings of your hand. But you shall eat them before Yahweh your Elohim in the place which Yahweh your Elohim shall choose. You and your son and your daughter and your manservant and your maidservant and the Levite that is within your gates, and you shall rejoice. before Yahweh Elohim in all that you put your hand unto. Take heed to yourself that you forsake not the Levite as long as you live in the land, in your land. The Almighty Yahweh is very faithful. He's very faithful in blessing his people. Over in Deuteronomy chapter 16, verse 13, we have another commandment there, which is still a part of the Torah. It says, you shall keep the Feast of Tabernacles 7 days after you have gathered in from your threshing floor and from your winepress, and you shall rejoice in your feast, you and your son, and your daughter, and your manservant, and your maidservant, and the Levite, and the sojourner, and the fatherless, and the widow, and that are within your gates. 7 days shall you keep a feast to Yahweh your Elohim. In the place which Yahweh shall choose, because Yahweh your Elohim will bless you and all your increase, and in all the work of your hands, and you shall be altogether joyful. Are we supposed to be sad? No. He's telling us to rejoice when we come together to keep this feast. 3 times in a year shall all your males appear before Yahweh Elohim in the place which he should choose, in the Feast of Unleavened Bread, in the Feast of Weeks, and in the Feast of Tabernacles. And they shall not appear before Yahweh empty. Every man shall give as he is able, according to the blessing of Yahweh Elohim, which he has given you. Turn over to 1 Kings 8, chapter 8. 1 Kings chapter 8. Then Solomon assembled the elders of Israel and all the heads of the tribes and the princes of the father's house of the children of Israel to King Solomon in Jerusalem to bring up the Ark of the Covenant of Yahweh out of the city of David, which is Zion. And all the men of Israel assembled themselves to King Solomon at the feast in the month of Ethanim, which is the 7th month. And all the elders of Israel came, and the priests took up the Ark, and they brought up the Ark of Yahweh and the tent of meeting and all the holy vessels that were in the tent. Even these did the priests and the Levites bring up. And King Solomon and all the congregation of Israel that were assembled to him were with him before the Ark, sacrificing sheep and oxen that could not be counted or numbered for multitude. And the priests brought up in the Ark of the Covenant of Yahweh to its place, and to the oracle of the house, to the most holy place, even under the wings of the cherubim. For the cherubim spread forth their wings over the place of the Ark, and the cherubim covered the Ark, and the poles of it above. And the poles were so long that the ends of the poles were seen from the holy place before the oracle, but they were not seen outside, and there they are to this day. There was nothing in the Ark save the 2 tables of stone which Moses put there for. When Yahweh made a covenant with the children of Israel, and when they came out of the land of Egypt, and it came to pass when the priests had come out of the holy place, that the cloud filled the house of Yahweh, so that the priests could not stand the minister. By reason of the cloud, for the glory of Yahweh filled the house of Yahweh. Now we want the glory of Yahweh to fill this house. We want the glory of Yahweh to be with his people. Just as it was at the Feast of Tabernacles at this time. But we have to rejoice before Yahweh. 2 Chronicles chapter 6, verse 40. We'll read down to 42. Now, O my Elohim, let I plead you your eyes be open, and let your ears be attentive to the prayer that is made in this place. Now therefore arise, O Yahweh Elohim, into your resting place. You and the ark of your strength, let your priest, O Yahweh, be clothed with salvation, and let your saints rejoice in goodness. O Yahweh Elohim, do not turn away the face of your anointed. Remember the good deeds of David, your servant. And we do remember the good deeds of David. David wanted to build a house for Yahweh, but Yahweh wouldn't allow him to do it because he was a man of war. But he allowed his son Solomon to build that house. And they rejoiced for Yahweh. And they gave glory and praise to him. Turn over to Psalm chapter 5. Psalm chapter 5, verses 11 and 12. It says that let all those that take refuge in you rejoice. Let them ever shout for joy because you defend them. Let them also that love your name be joyful in you. Do we love the name of Yahweh, brethren? That's the question I have before you. Because if we love the name of Yahweh, we're supposed to be rejoicing today before Yahweh. For you will bless the righteous, O Yahweh. You will compass him with favor as with a shield. We want Yahweh's protection. And for us to receive that protection, we have to follow his commands. We have to do what he tells us to do. You know what? I know that a lot of people may not believe this, but when certain things happen in the world, Yahweh's people are going to be protected. They're going to be in the right place at the right time. Because if they're not, and they're where they're not supposed to be, they may get caught up in something, some destruction. So we want to keep that in mind. Our purpose is to come before Yahweh and rejoice because that's what he commands us to do. Turn over to Psalm 118. We'll start in verse 1. Oh, give thanks to Yahweh, for he is good, for his loving kindness endures forever. Let Israel now say that his loving kindness endures forever. Let the house of Aaron now say that his loving kindness endures forever. Let them now fear Yahweh, and that's each one of us, that his loving kindness endures forever. Out of my distress I called upon Yah. Yah answered me and set me in a large place. See, that large place can be the Feast of Tabernacles. It's referenced in other places as a large place where people come together to worship Yahweh in a large place. Verse 6, Yahweh is on my side, I will not fear. What can man do to me? Yahweh is on my side among them that help me. Therefore shall I see my desire upon them that hate me. It is better to take refuge in Yahweh than to put confidence in man. It is better to take refuge in Yahweh than to put confidence in princes. All nations compass me about. In the name of Yahweh, I will cut them off. They compass me about. Yes, they compass me about. In the name of Yahweh, I will cut them off. They compass me about like bees. They are quenched as the fire of thorns. In the name of Yahweh, I will cut them off. See, the name of Yahweh is our protection. It's our protection. We're here because we fear the name of Yahweh. We fear Yahweh. And he commands us to come before him and rejoice before him. In verse 13 it says, pushing, you pushed me to fall, but Yahweh helped me. Yah is my strength and song. He has become my salvation. The voice of rejoicing and salvation is in the tabernacles of the righteous, in the tents of the righteous. The right hand of Yahweh does valiantly. The right hand of Yahweh is exalted. The right hand of Yahweh does valiantly. I shall not die but live and declare the works of Yahweh. Yah has chastened me grievously, but he has not given me over to death. Open to me the gate of righteousness. I will enter into them. I will give thanks to Yah. This is the gate of Yahweh. The righteous shall enter into it. I will give thanks to you, for you have answered me and become my salvation. The stone which the builders rejected has become the head of the corner. We know that stone is Yahshua the Messiah. And the builders were the leaders of Judaism, leaders of Israel. They rejected Yahshua the Messiah. And he said in verse 23, this is Yahweh's doing. It is marvelous in our eyes. This is the day which Yahweh has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. Because Yahweh's commanded us to come before him and rejoice. That's what he's told us to do, to come keep the Feast of Tabernacles and rejoice before him. Save now. We plead you, O Yahweh, we plead you, send now prosperity. Blessed be he that comes in the name of Yahweh. And that's each one of us, brethren. We have blessed you out of the house of Yahweh. Yahweh is El, and he has given us life. Bind the sacrifice with cords, even to the horns of the altar. You are my El, and I will give thanks to you. You are my Elohim, I will exalt you. We'll give thanks to Yahweh, for he is good, for his loving kindness endures forever. Psalm 149. Hallelujah. Sing to Yahweh a new song and his praise in the assembly of the saints. Let Israel rejoice in him that made him. That's what we have to do. We have become Israel of Yahweh. We have to rejoice before him. Let the children of Zion be joyful in their king. Let them praise his name in the dance. Let them sing praises to him with timbrel and harp, for Yahweh takes pleasure in his people. He will beautify the meek with salvation. Let the saints exult in glory. Let them sing for joy upon their beds. Let the high praises of El be in their mouth and a two-edged sword in their hand to execute vengeance upon the nation and punishments upon the peoples, to bind their kings with chains and their nobles with fetters of iron. Execute upon them the judgment written. This honor have all his saints. Hallelujah. All his saints have the honor to do Yahweh's will. Every one of them. And guess what? Even the children can come before Yahweh and give praise and give honor and glory to his name. That's right. We expect to hear some singing from you. 1 Peter chapter 1. Peter, an apostle, in verse 1, of Yahshua the Messiah, to the elect, who are sojourners of the dispersion in Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, Bithynia, Virginia Beach, wherever we might find ourselves, according to the foreknowledge of Yahweh the Father and sanctification of the Spirit, to obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Yahshua the Messiah, grace to you and peace be multiplied. Blessed be the Elohim and Father of our Savior, Yahshua the Messiah, who according to his great mercy begat us again to a living hope by the resurrection of Yahshua the Messiah from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible. The inheritance that Yahweh has given us, brethren, is a blessing. He's given us the kingdom of Yahweh.
which is a type. Right now, the Feast of Tabernacles is a type of kingdom. It says, to the inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, and that fades not away, reserved in heaven for you, who by the power of Yahweh are guarded through faith to salvation, ready to be revealed in the last days, in the last times, in which you greatly rejoice. So now, for a little while, if need be, you have been put to grief in manifold trials. And like we said earlier, we went through some trials to get here, each and every one of them. But that's part of the course. We have to go through that so that we can get here and rejoice. This is the purpose for us to get to the feast. We want to get to the kingdom. It's not going to be easy, brother. But as long as we have Yahshua the Messiah, we have overcome the world because he did. Verse 7, that the proof of your faith being more precious than gold, which perishes though it is proved by fire, may be found to praise and glory and honor at the revelation of Yahshua the Messiah, whom not having seen you love. We haven't seen Yahshua, but we do love him because we've been taught through the word that Yahshua shed his blood for each one of our sins. On whom, though, now you see him not, yet believing, you rejoice greatly with joy unspeakable and full of glory. And each one of us fulfills this passage. I hope every one of us feels this way. Receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls, concerning which salvation the prophets sought and searched diligently, who prophesied of the grace that should come to you, searching what time or what manner of time the Spirit of the Messiah, which was in them, did point to, when it testified beforehand the sufferings of the Messiah and the glories that should follow them. To whom it was revealed that not to themselves, but to you, did they minister these things which now have been announced to you through them that preach the good tidings to you by the Holy Spirit sent forth from heaven, which things angels desire to look into. Almighty Yahweh has commanded us to rejoice before him. He told us to come to the Feast of Tabernacles to rejoice, to give glory and praise to his holy name. Our closing passage is going to be from Revelation 19. After these things I heard, as it were, a great voice of a great multitude in heaven saying, Hallelujah! Salvation and glory and power belong to our Elohim. For true and righteous are his judgments. For he has judged the great harlot, her that corrupted the earth with her fornication, and he has avenged the blood of his servants at her hand. And a second time they say, Hallelujah! And her smoke goes up to the ages of the ages. And the 24 elders and the 24 living creatures fell down and worshiped Yahweh that sits on the throne, saying, Amen, Hallelujah. And a voice came forth from the throne, saying, Give praise to our Elohim, all you his servants, you that fear him, the small and the great. And I heard, as it were, the voice of a great multitude, and as the voice of many waters, and as the voice of mighty thunder, saying, Hallelujah, for Yahweh our Elohim, the Almighty reigns. Let us rejoice and be very glad. Let us give glory to him, for the marriage of the Lamb has come,
and his wife and made herself ready. And it was given to her that she should array herself in fine linen, bright and pure, for the fine linen is the righteous act of the saints. And he says to me, right, blessed are they that are bidden to the marriage supper of the Lamb. And he says to me, these are true words of Yahweh. And I fell down before his feet to worship him. And he says to me, see, you do it not. I am a fellow servant with you and with your brethren that hold the testimony of Yahshua. Worship Yahweh. For the testimony of Yahshua is the spirit of prophecy. Each one of us has received the command to come before Yahweh and rejoice, to give glory to his holy name. That word rejoice is to be happy, to be glad, to be gleesome. And we are told in the word to come before him and rejoice before him in the Feast of Tabernacles. That's what we're doing here, brethren, today. May Almighty Yahweh bless each and every one of us that has come together to give glory and to rejoice before him. If you'd all please rise at this time, we'll have a closing prayer. Father Yahweh, we humbly bow our hearts before your throne of grace. We thank and praise your name for this high holy Sabbath day. We ask, Father, that your word would have free course in us and that it would bless us. And that we would rejoice before you, Father, as you've commanded us in your word. We thank you, Father, for calling us out of this sinful world into your marvelous light. Help us to walk in the footsteps of your Son, Yahshua the Messiah, who did just that. He rejoiced before you, and we're going to rejoice before you as well. We love you, Father, and we thank you for all you've done for us, our life, health, and strength. We ask that you would continually bless us as we seek to do that which is right in your sight, and as we seek to rejoice before you, as you've commanded us to come before you and to give that glory to rejoice. In Yahshua's holy name we pray. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Our closing song.